Thank you, Marvin, and I hope that we will use these cards. Wouldn't it be great if someone was saved in your family or my family this Easter? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Thank you, Mr. Barlow, for special singing. Brittany, thank you. Blessed our hearts. Choir, thank you for the good singing this morning. Again, we're so blessed to have so much talent here at Union Grove Baptist Church. The title of my message this morning, and I'm really going to be bringing you two Easter messages, one today and then one next Sunday. Next Sunday, I think my sermon title is Who Crucified Jesus? But I'm not talking so much about the who. I'm going to talk about what crucified Jesus. But let's look this morning. My sermon title is Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. Please take your Bible. Turn with me to the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. We've gathered in this place this morning to celebrate the foundational fact in the Christian story. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why we believe that Jesus has the name that is above every name. The Bible reminds us in Philippians 2:19. That's why we believe there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. That's why we believe whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16. This bedrock, the bedrock upon which our faith, your faith, and my faith stands, is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God's Son, from the dead. The Bible tells us that for 30 years, Jesus lived in a Galilean village. Then for 3.5 years, He traveled the roads, demonstrating by word, and not only by word, but also by deed, that the kingdom of God had come. Then 6 hours, try to imagine, 6 hours He hung on the cross with people laughing at Him, making fun of Him, mocking Him. Some asked the question, why did Jesus have to die? Think about that for just a moment. Why did He have to die? He had on His shoulders, and let me answer it this way, on His shoulders all the sins of the ages. Think if you can, comprehend if you can, of all the past and the present and even the future, until He cried the words, "It is finished." The Bible reminds us for 3 days Jesus laid in the tomb, and it seemed that evil had won and God's plan had failed. It seemed that Satan had won and God's plan had failed. But on the 3rd day, on that very first Easter, the earth trembled and the stone rolled away. Jesus had risen. Some folks asked how. Still in 2013, some folks do not understand. Some folks cannot comprehend. Some folks, even today, do not believe in a risen Savior. We find the answer to how in our text this morning. Look with me, please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 14. The Bible says this in verse 14. God hath both raised up the Lord. Notice who's doing this. God the Father raised up the Lord, and He will, there's more good news, also raise us up by His own power. Bow with me and pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank You for another day. Thank You for the good rain You're sending our way. You always know exactly what we need. And we thank You, God. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You and ask that You bless the reading of Your Word. Thank You, God, for the good singing, for the good music. Again, bless the remainder of our service, especially our invitation time. We pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, with our remaining time, if you look at your outline, I want to take you in 3 different directions. I want to begin, notice Roman numeral number 1. I want to begin, direction number 1, the past. Go back in your minds, the past. First of all, our Scripture points to the past and reminds us of what God did. In verse 14, and please keep your Bibles open, notice the words, by His power. God raised Jesus from the dead. I believe that. Amen? I believe that totally. Now, question, what difference does it make that Jesus was raised from the dead? What difference does it make? Remember, in Jesus' day, there was many who claimed to be the Messiah. And I could share some names with you this morning. I could share probably at least 10 names off the top of my head that people have claimed to be the Messiah. Some of them you would know, some of them you may not. But here's the difference. All those that claimed to be the Messiah died, and they're still dead. Every one of them. Jesus is a totally different story. Jesus is known by people on every continent. Jesus is loved by people on every continent. Jesus has been claimed Savior by people, now listen closely, in every generation. For millions of people on this earth, Jesus has become the name that is above every name. Friends, the reason we know of Jesus today, not only know of Him, but the reason we love Him, not only love Him, but the reason we meet here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday to worship Him is because of what happened on that third day after His death. He is a risen Savior. Amen? Now turn over with me, if you would, please, in 1 Corinthians to chapter 15. Paul elaborates on this event by quoting what most scholars believe to have been a formula, perhaps a creed. This is the church's deepest conviction about Jesus. Look with me, please, chapter 15 at verse number 3. And under direction number 1, you'll notice there's 4 facts there. Let's begin reading in verse 3. The Bible says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." We need to be thankful that He was willing to die. Amen? That He was willing to leave heaven for you and for me, and to die for your sins and my sins. Verse 4, "And that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." I believe that He arose with all power, don't you? And I believe if Jesus arose, and He did, that He can save me or you and keep us saved forever and forever. I believe once saved, always saved, don't you? Look on with me, verse 5. "And that He was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. And after that, He was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep or some have died. After that, He was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, He was seen of me also as one born out of due time." Now let me share those 4 facts with you. I know you've got these in your mind. Fact number 1, Jesus died. Fact number 2, Jesus was buried. Fact number 3, Jesus arose from the grave. And then fact number 4, Jesus appeared. Not to just one, but to many. Not just one occasion, but several. All 4 facts are important. Jesus was dead as any person. Jesus died, the Bible says, and He was buried. Jesus appeared not just to one, but to many. Not just one occasion, again, on several. Paul focuses his attention to the fact that Jesus arose from the grave. On Friday He was dead, is that right? But then came Sunday, and on Sunday He was alive again. Aren't you glad today? Aren't you glad today that you know you don't have to wonder, you don't have to hope, but you know that your Jesus is alive? Aren't you glad? I'm glad. Notice direction number 2, the future. The future. Our text also points to the future and reminds us what God does or what God will do for us. Now, I get excited, or I used to, about birthdays. And I used to get excited about Christmas more than perhaps when you're a child or a teenager, more than you even do and as an adult. And as you know more about Christmas, of course it means more to you. But when you're a child or you're a teenager, you're looking forward to those Christmas presents and you're looking forward to those birthday presents, right? But I'm not so much excited about birthday parties anymore, right? I'm excited about what's ahead of me in a place called heaven. I'm excited and I have much anticipation about seeing my Jesus face to face, bowing at His feet and saying, "Thank you, thank you." Aren't you? Aren't you excited about the future? Again, remember the first verse we read. Look back in your Bible. The Bible says, "By His power," the Bible says, "God will raise us also." In chapter 15, Paul presents Jesus' resurrection as proof. And you say, proof of what? Proof of our resurrection, yours and mine. Now, how do we know? In chapter 15, look with me at 2 verses, verse 55 and verse 56. The Bible says in verse 55, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now someday, every one of us may be placed in a grave. Now, they've got cremation going on now, and they've got other things going on now, but we're going to die one day unless Jesus comes back during our lifetime. Do you agree? It's going to happen. We're going to have to face death. And just as Jesus did, we must remember that that will not be the end of the story. Some folks believe death and that's all. But that's not what the Bible teaches. For Christians, it will be a new life. For Christians, it will be a new beginning, which will last forever and forever and forever in a place called heaven. Now, how can we know that for sure? Because of what happened to Jesus on that third day after His crucifixion. Aren't you thankful that you won't stay in the grave? Now, your body will. But the Bible teaches, and I've said this so many times, and I hope that you believe this. I know most of you do. The moment that we breathe our last breath, we spend eternity. We open our eyes in one of two places. If you're a Christian, you open your eyes in a place called heaven. If you die lost and undone, you open your eyes in a place called hell. It happens quickly, instantly. There's not a soul sleep. There's not a place just to hang out. It happens quickly. Do you agree? You say, are you sure? Are you sure? Let me back that up. What did Paul say? To be absent from the body is what? Present with the Lord. What did Jesus tell the thief on the cross that accepted Him? Not tomorrow, not next week, not after a season, but today. Instantly, when we breathe our last breath, we go to be with Jesus. Let's go on. Direction number three. I want you to notice the present. And we talk about the past and we're thankful for it. We talk about the future. I told you I have a lot of excitement about one day being in heaven, but we forget so many times the present. Some people would ask, but what does all this mean for us today, March the 24th, 2013? Now, the answer is very important. Turn back to chapter 6. Because of God's resurrection of Jesus' body in the past, and because of God's promise to resurrect our bodies in the future, sanctifies this body in which we live in today. Let each of us never forget, as Christians, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. In chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, look at verse 15. The Bible says, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid." Skip down to verse 18. Very familiar passage. "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." What? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Ladies and gentlemen, your body, my body, the Bible says is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We need to be careful what we put in our bodies. We need to be careful what we put on our bodies. Do you agree? Now, what does this tell us? Notice there's two things in your outline under direction number three. Let me share both things. Number one, we cannot do with this body whatever we please. So many Christians forget that, and we say why? Because it belongs to Christ. Our bodies belong to Christ. Let me share the second thing. We cannot act in this body any way we choose. Why? Because it is the temple of the Holy Spirit. There are some places we should not go. There are some things that we should not do. If you are living in sin today as a Christian man or as a Christian woman, please remember your body has been bought and purchased at Calvary. Let me stop and ask the question, do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? If you really love Jesus, according to verse 20, if you look back, we're to honor God with our bodies and everything we do. Not just on Sunday, but every single day of the week. Let me explain. We're to honor God with what we put in our bodies. We're to honor God with what we do with our bodies. Friends, the true celebration of Easter is not what happens here today on Palm Sunday. It's not what happens next Sunday on Easter Sunday in this sanctuary. No, the true celebration of Easter is what happens every moment. Every moment in our daily lives as we honor God in our daily walk. Because we have been bought with a price, because these bodies, your body, my body, are the temple of the Holy Spirit, it matters to God and it matters eternally what we do with the present time with Jesus Christ. Think with me for just a moment. If God chooses to, He'll give you another breath. And He'll give you another breath. if He chooses to. The Bible says you're not your own. The Bible says you're bought with a price. Therefore, we should honor God with our body. Amen? Are you doing that? Are you honoring God? Listen to just a few things. We're going to stand as born-again believers at the judgment seat of Christ. Do you agree? Not about salvation. That's the white throne. But we have to be careful because God sees us on the inside. We can't see each other on the inside. We can't see the heart. God can. We can't see the mind. God can. He knows about our attitude. He knows about our heart. He knows why we do the things we do, good or bad. Listen to some things that we're going to be held accountable for at the judgment seat as we stand one by one before Jesus. We're going to give an account on how we treat other believers. We're going to give an account how we employ our God-given abilities. We're going to give an account how we use our money. We're going to give an account how we spend our time. Everybody has the same 24 hours in a day. We're going to give an account how much we suffer for Jesus. When folks maybe hurt our feelings, when folks upset us, it shouldn't really bother us because we're doing it for Jesus. We're going to have to give an account of how we run the race that God has given us. Each one of us has a plan. Each one of us has a purpose. We're going to have to give an account. Did we fulfill that? Have we honored that? We're going to give an account how we control the old nature. Again, we have an old nature and then we have a new nature. And the one that wins is the one that we feed. That's why I tell you to be in God's house every opportunity you can. Worship God. Be in God's Word every chance you can. Read the Bible. Get all of it that you can. Be on your knees. Pray all that you can. Again, the one that's going to win is the one that you feed the most. We're going to give an account how many souls that you witnessed to. Marvin's already alluded to that. And those cards, he's made it easy. Give it to somebody. Pray before you give it to somebody. We're going to give an account of how many souls we've witnessed to and how many souls we've actually won. We're going to give an account to how we've reacted to temptation. You see, Satan's going to come. We know that. We understand that. But be sure that we can stand if we stand on the Word. We don't have to give in to sin. We don't have to give in to the old devil. And we're going to give an account of how faithful we are to the Word of God and to His church. We're going to give an account one day. So again, are you honoring God with your body? Are you honoring God with your life? The good news is that you can make things right today if you have a sin problem. If you really love Him, you're going to honor Him. Amen? Some people say, I'm trying. Some people say, preacher, I'm in sin and I want to stop, but I can't. We can stop sin from dominating our lives. And you say, why? Because we're connected to Jesus. And you say, how? Jesus gives us that resurrection power, that same power that God used to raise Him out of the grave to be help us be victorious over sin. Now listen, let me give you one scripture. If you're writing, jot this in your notes. Michael put it on the screen. Romans 6:12. This verse speaks to sin. The Bible says, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Friends, if you and I have sin in our lives that's beating us down, it's because we have faulty thinking. If we have sin in our lives, it is because we're living as if the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not real. We don't have to continue in the same sin every single day. Do you agree? It doesn't have to be that way. We have His power. We must learn to think in the term, I'm not what I used to be. Now, let me ask you the question. How many here today are glad that you're not what you used to be? Amen? I'm very glad. And if we're glad of what we're not what we used to be, we don't and we should not act the way we used to act. Understand, self-effort is not the answer. Understand that the world's ways is not the answer that we should be looking for. If it were so, we could have quit sinning a long time ago. So what must we do? Just admit to God, God, I need your help. God, I can't do this on my own. It's bigger than I am. God, I need your help. And then ask Jesus to forgive you. Not only to forgive you, but ask Jesus Christ, as He does forgive you, to give you strength so that you won't stay in that same sin day after day. And then thank Jesus for giving you victory. And then thank Jesus for giving you strength over that sin. But now what if you're here today and lost? You need to pray the sinner's prayer. Maybe you're saying, I don't know how to do that. I'll be standing here. If you'll just come up and say, preacher, I want to do that today. I promise you I'll help you with that sinner's prayer. I want to share a story with you that someone shared with me several years ago. Marvin, have we got some more tracks? Got some more? 600, I believe. 600 tracks. If you didn't get one, see Marvin after the service. A preacher and his 11-year-old son every Sunday had father and son time. After they went home and had lunch, they would spend an hour or two handing out tracts every Sunday. And believe it or not, some boys probably wouldn't want to do that. Some maybe would. This boy loved to do that with his dad. He loved to spend time with his dad. He loved to help hand out those tracts. So that was something they did every Sunday. On a certain Sunday, it was raining, much like we're having today. And it was raining quite hard after church. They had their lunch. Here came the 11-year-old son, and he had a handful of tracts, and he was ready to go. But he heard some sad words from his dad. His dad said, "Son, I need to study a little bit before I preach tonight, and it's raining so bad, I don't believe I'll go today." And he just pooched his lip out. The 11-year-old boy wanted to go. He said, "Dad, can I go without you?" He'd never been by himself. His dad said, "If you'll go down just a certain street," see, they lived in a large city where neighbors didn't really know who neighbors were. He said, "If you'll go down a certain street and promise me that you'll be back at a certain time, you can go." So the 11-year-old son went on his own. And as he and his dad had done, they just handed them out as they passed people on the sidewalk. Everybody was taking one. Everybody was being nice to this little boy. It was raining, but they were still being nice. He got down to the last one. He was watching his watch. He was going to be back at home on time. He had one left. Nobody seemed to be on the street at that moment. So on the way back, he went to the first house he came to. And he rung the doorbell. No one answered. He rung it a second time. No one answered. Said he started to leave. And for some reason he went back, and we have to believe it was the Holy Spirit, even speaking to an 11-year-old boy. He rung that doorbell a third time. And then he began to knock. Finally, a lady in her 80s opened the door. And the 11-year-old boy stood back and said, "Ma'am, Jesus loves you, and I love you," and handed that tract to her. And she said, "Thank you," and closed the door. And she read that tract. She got on her hands and knees for the first time, real close to that door, and accepted Jesus Christ, God's Son, as her Lord and Savior. Now, that was the Sunday before Easter. It just happened to be that time of year. On Easter Sunday, the church was packed. She had never been in this church, but the name of the church was on the track. She wanted to come. She wanted to thank somebody because she had received eternal life, and she really didn't know who to thank. So at the close of the service, she made her way down to the altar, and she began telling the preacher the story. And he pointed over to that 11-year-old boy and said, "That's my son." But that wasn't the end of the story. She said to the preacher, "Nobody I thought loved me. I'm a senior adult. My family doesn't come and visit me. No one loves me, or at least I didn't think so, till I read that Jesus loved me. And then your son rung my doorbell three times and told me he loved me. You see, your son didn't know it, but I was standing up on a chair with a rope around my neck. The doorbell rung the first time, and I didn't move." She said, "I already had that rope fixed, and I was going to end all my troubles, or at least I thought." The doorbell rung a second time, and she said, "I didn't move." But she said, out of his love, the third time, I took the rope around my neck and I made my way down to the door. She said, "Preacher, your son is why I'm alive today. And preacher, God's son is why I'm going to live forever and forever and forever." And she said, "I just need to thank somebody." Who do you need to thank today? Because of your salvation. Who do you need to pray for today? Who do you need to pray, "God, I need to give this card to somebody. Maybe they'll show up next Sunday at Easter. Maybe somebody in my family, maybe a friend, maybe a coworker. Who do you need to pray for? There's some questions in your outline. Look at those questions. Are you honoring God? What have you done for Jesus lately? Are you heaven bound? Will you come and pray for a lost person? You see, so many times God wants us to do our part, and then He really does His part. Let's stand together and let's pray together.